You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Carty, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Like, landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Animus knows what you think I've seen. Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his stylus knee, and he was talking to Moxie and Joe. Better part of it gonna have out in the St. John's Wall. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, Billy boy. I'm okay. A little under the weather, but everybody else in the world's got it. Why not me? I got to tell all of our friends in California, Giants are on top, 6-0 in the sixth inning. Our boy Barry Zito is knocking them dead, and let's hope that this is just one of four, that they take it to the end. It'll be 2 years out of the last three, ladies and gentlemen, that the good old San Francisco Giants do it one more time. Well, Billy, I got to tell you, this has been an interesting week. You know, for the last 3 weeks, we've been all over the country on expedition, doing this filming, and I got to tell you something. This has probably been the most invigorating, most compelling, most interesting expedition that we've had. Every place we went, we saw new footage of the creature, which will be out in our new movie, ladies and gentlemen. This new movie will be out for Christmas. We were commissioned to do it. It's our first fictional slash pseudo documentary found footage film, kind of like on the Blair Witch theme. but a little bit better, and nobody's ever done what we've done. And I got to tell you, this is one hell of a picture. It's going to tell one hell of a story, and the thing that's going to blow your mind is the reality part. That's the documentary part, ladies and gentlemen. We've got footage. We just got some new footage sent to us from the Department of Agriculture, the director out there in the state of Tennessee, number two man in the entire state. He, on his DVRs, they put the cameras up, ladies and gentlemen, to catch poachers and arsonists. Well, they're up there in terrain where it doesn't even pay to, human beings don't go. And here they see this creature keep popping its head up and down, walking upright like a man, moving very quickly through the brush. They enhanced it, sent it out to the FBI. FBI says, man, we don't know what that is. They said, maybe you should send it out to a cryptozoologist, a Bigfoot hunter, and they contacted me. Well, our boys checked it out. And I'll tell you, when you see this, you're going to blow your mind. We got some footage down there in Mississippi, back there on the reservation. We got footage out there with our girls, Jody and Jane, that when you see that footage, it's going to blow your mind. There's a creature tearing up a house, throwing stuff out. A zoologist was out there. The zoologist won't even go back anymore because it's a family pod, and she's scared shitless. I'm telling you, this is going to be the film of all films. Coup de grace, icing on the cake. Searching for Bigfoot, the movie, ladies and gentlemen. The culmination is down there in Alabama, on the land of Chuck Creel. And when you see what happens down there, you're going to totally blow your mind. But I got to tell you, these things are starting to migrate. Got three calls today. People seeing these creatures. And you know what? It's ironic, ladies and gentlemen. The creatures that everybody sees around this country is nowhere near look like the one that Patterson took in 67. It's all bullshit. Excuse my vernacular. But it wasn't real. We were supposed to have ours out. It is out now. It'll be up for sale here. I don't know if Billy's got it out there on our website. The only place right now that you could buy it is right here on Searching for Bigfoot. But Hoax of the Century, ladies and gentlemen, is where it's all about. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at our website right now, and Billy, are we on that yet?
I'm not sure what you're talking about, Tom.
Hoax of the Century. Can they buy it on our website?
I don't know. They should be up there.
Well, let me take a look. I happen to got the damn thing up for a change. Finally know how to work these things, believe it or not. And it's not up there. Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go on the hook. I'm going to tell everybody they can go out there and buy Hoax of the Century tomorrow. Bill will find time, I'm sure. Won't you, Bill?
Well, Tom, I had no idea that you had anything to put on the website, so I can't put it up if I don't know I have it.
Well, I'm not going to sit here and debate with you, Bill, but we've got it on our website now. If you go to our homepage,
the Hoax of the Century has been on the website for 6 months or 8 months. However, whether the DVD is available in the store or not, I don't know.
No, I'm not saying on the store. I want it available on our website. We're going to sell them right now.
The Hoax of the Century has been on there for quite some time.
Okay, Bill. Good. How do we get it? I just clicked on it. Could you help me?
It's right there on the front. You go on the front page.
Yeah.
It'll say Hoax of the Century, October.
Right. Then I go to Shopping for Bigfoot. It's not on there to buy.
Well, it's not been posted to buy because we haven't got anything to put on it.
Oh, okay.
Yet. I didn't
okay.
get that yet.
I've
got it on the website, but I have to have something to post on the shopping cart.
I see. Okay. So if I go out there and shoot myself in the foot and tell everybody they can buy it tomorrow, can they?
Well, I'll certainly try to put it on the shopping cart right away, yeah.
That would be wonderful.
Tonight.
That's all I'm talking about. I see that you got it up here. Tells the story. Okay, we've been deceived for years. We've been lied to for years. And October 20, 2012, we will reveal the Hoax of the Century. Well, it's revealed now, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, the Patterson film was a fake. It was a hoax. You'll see the entire thing in film. Goes on sale tomorrow, I hope, with Bill's help. And when you see it, you're going to blow your mind. Guaranteed, totally blow yourself away when you see it, okay? It doesn't hold any punches, doesn't hold anything back. It tells you like it is. The person that was in the suit, the guy that made the suit, the person, one of the people that invested and through Roger Patterson had an arrest warrant for out for his arrest to throw him in jail. You're going to see all that. You'll see everything. You'll see our own experts take a look at the suit. You'll see the buckles and the thing down the butt crack and how the whole thing was put together by the man that made the suit. For the first time ever, ladies and gentlemen, Hoax of the Century. You'll be able to buy it on our website tomorrow. Well, let's see what we got here. Billy, you got a cavalcade of stars with us tonight, don't you?
Sure do.
That's wonderful. You know what? Here I am flapping my gums, not looking at the clock here. Let's get out there to Canada, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk to Chad. I talked to Chad while I was on expedition, as a matter of fact. He did send me those footprints. How are you, Chad?
Oh, I'm well, thanks, Tom.
Good. How's the weather up there?
Very rainy, as usual. A little bit of snow higher up in the mountains, but where I'm at, it's just rain, probably from now until about April.
What's the temperature like?
About 10 Celsius, so I don't know, I guess that's like about 40 degrees, maybe 45 degrees.
45 degrees. Well, that's not too bad.
Yeah, about that.
Do you find anything
wet,
a little different in the temperature now this time of year, Chad?
Just damp. It's just always damp. You have to be well adjusted to rain, or else you'll get depressed very fast here.
Jeez. You know, I got to tell you, we were just... When you talked to me last week, I forgot where we were, whether it was Mississippi or Alabama, but the temperature was 96 degrees, and
wow.
It was so sultry because it had rained. It was like a sauna, you know, like in the jungles.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, was it terrible. You know, you come out of the shower and you get outside and you do some investigating, and before you know it, you're drenched.
That's like down through, you know, Ontario, Michigan, Ohio, all through that area. It's very much like that in the summertime.
Well, the humidity, of course.
Yeah.
All right, listen, I'm sure my listeners around the globe would love to hear your story. Tell everybody about how you uncovered these footprints up there in Canada.
Okay, so we took a trip for Thanksgiving, Canada Thanksgiving, went to visit the wife's family, you know, up in BC, we'll say, and we went on a four-by-four trip with with Claire's father, who happens to be probably the most conservative insurance salesman type guy I've ever met. So anyway, he's really good four-wheeler, and I'd never gone way up, you know what I mean? So we went way up there. It was probably, I don't know, maybe an hour and 15, hour and a half ride up to where we went, the destination point. And, you know, really, like, the only way you're getting up there is if you got an ATV or if you have a four-wheeler. So we get up there, and I'm always looking around for tracks. I have never even really gave Bigfoot much thought before, just kind of like, just something that was in the back of my head. I didn't really, you know, I wasn't like a big, like, oh, I believe in Bigfoot or anything like that at all, or ever even looking for a Bigfoot. So I'm looking around for bear tracks because I really like bears. And I notice elk tracks in the dirt, and I'm like, oh, awesome, look at this elk. And there's lots of elk through this whole region, right? They, like, just migrate all over. And I'm looking down. And I look, and I say, holy shit. Can I say shit on this show? I say, holy shit, look at that, a grizzly bear. And I'm staring at it, but like what I know, a grizzly bear's footprint is really big, but it's really round. It's not long, it's round, right? And I'm like, but this kind of doesn't make sense. And it hadn't even settled into my brain yet, like what I was seeing. So I go down to the lake because Bob and Claire and all them were already down at the lake. We had parked the car and then walked down this, like, old logging road. You can't even drive on this road. Like, it's just walkable. That's it. It's chained off, so you can't get down there. And there was like two big mud puddles for whatever reason. There hadn't rained forever, so I'm not even sure why there was mud and water. It's kind of swampy type of area, right? And I go down to the lake and I say, "Hey, Claire, I think I found a Bigfoot track." And she's kind of laughing, right? Like, and she's very much, she's from there, right? So she's like, she's seen one before when she was younger. Out the back window of a car, she saw one, and I just take it with a grain of salt, the story, right? So she's like, let's go see. So we go back, and everybody stopped at where these tracks were, like the rest of the group. And I go, "Right there, look at that." And she goes, "Wow." And we just stare at it, and then we look, and then there's this, like, there's actually 5 footprints that I never noticed, the other ones, that it was walking. You know, like, I put my foot next to the footprints, and I, like, walked the same, like, you know, gait that this thing was moving in. And just even, like I was saying about her father, Bob, I said, "Bob, what do you make of this?" And he looks, you know, and he's like, "I really don't know what to say." You know, we were in such a remote area, Tom, that if somebody was to plant a hoax there, like the probability of anybody finding their hoax before it rained, where it'd be all washed away, would be like, I don't know, pretty astronomical, probably as likely as finding a Bigfoot, you know what I mean? So I took pictures of them all. I thought I sent them off to you. I think I sent most of them off, and I don't know if you know what I'm, because you've been dealing this stuff for forever, but, you know, the photographs don't do it justice as much as, like, seeing it with your eyes, and we had nothing to, like, take a cast with or anything, so. Yeah, so then I came home, and now I'm obsessed with finding Bigfoot.
You know, that's all it takes, by the way, Chad, is to have that one incident, that one moment. By the way, when you first saw those prints, what went through your head?
When I first saw them, like I said, I thought it was a grizzly bear, and then I'm like, it didn't add up because of the shape, right? And then I'm like, somebody put these here. And then I'm like, no, like, we're, like, there's no way, it's such a remote spot. And then I even looked around for other human tracks, you know, and nothing. And then I was just like, I actually left where the tracks were, went back to the truck, and then went back a second time and took pictures, and then looked around the area, and then got kind of chills, like, wow, if this thing is here right now, because these tracks were fresh, and you could see where on the one would have been, like, the right footprint. There was, like, a break in the, he, like, stepped on the side of, like, the, I don't know how to explain it. Like, he made a scrape with his foot on the side of the, like, a bankment, you know, like a small, small bankment. So I searched the area, and Claire noticed, because she likes eating the huckleberries, they grow everywhere around here, by the truck where we parked, you know, 5 minutes away, there were shitloads of huckleberries everywhere. Where I found these tracks, there was lots of huckleberry bushes, but not a single huckleberry on any bush, not even one. And sure, bears can come along and eat those too, but there were no bear tracks. There were no other tracks, but these,
well, let me ask you this,
Chad.
Are the bears going into hibernation this time of year?
It's so mild here, Tom, they don't really hibernate here. They kind of stay awake all year, like in this part of Canada. They don't really hibernate, not like they do in Ontario and Saskatchewan and stuff like that. So we definitely don't have grizzly bears here. Like, that's towards Alaska and stuff like that. We just have your regular black bear, which most people don't like. Like, they're kind of a pest. I like them personally, but they just kind of, they're lazier in the winter, but they're always around.
Well, so what are your plans? What's your plans in the future? Looking for these creatures.
Well, I know when I called you, I was in kind of a panic. Like, I was so like, wow, I found somebody's phone number. Somebody will actually believe me when I'm telling them that was you on the phone that day I was talking to you, and you probably thought I was a crazy person. But I talked over with my son, who's always been a believer. He's 21, Isaiah. And we're going to go back. Like, we just would like some direction on what to bring and, you know, that kind of stuff. We want to go back up there and camp out. Like, we're not afraid. Like, you don't really hear about people getting killed by them. So that kind of fear is out of me. And we just want to go up there and camp and maybe get a picture or just see it. Like, I'm not even worried about showing the whole world, look, they live. I just want to see it for myself. You know what I mean, Tom?
Well, I do. I do. I know exactly what you mean. You know, you just mentioned something, and I'd like for you to explain it to my listeners around the globe. You just said that, you know, you wanted to talk to somebody, reach out to somebody and talk to them. And, gosh, you know, you called Searching for Bigfoot, and there was a live person on the end to receive your call. Were there other organizations that you called also?
To be honest, Tom, I phoned a few. You were the first one, and so I got well reception from you. I figured it would be the same with the other groups, but none even anybody returned my email on the other organization. And there's supposedly an organization up there right now filming a documentary or something, and we went back last week just for it's not very far from where we are. It's like a boat ride away, and we went up there, and we thought, oh, wow, this is a coincidence that they're here. We thought it was you that was here, and that's the first thing I said to Marco. I was like, oh, wow, you guys are here, right? I'm like, no, it's not us, but those guys never got back to us, so, oh, well, snoozy lose. I mean, it's a remote area, and, like, it'd be like dropping, I wouldn't even say a needle in a haystack, even smaller than that. This place is huge, the mountain range here, right? So I don't know what kind of leads they have, but we at least have a lead, so we're going to go back and check it out for ourselves.
That's wonderful. You know, ladies and gentlemen, that was firsthand information, okay, and it proves one thing, that, you know, 24/7, we've got somebody on those phones to answer any questions, to give you some kind of guidance in any way, and to prove it to you, I've got Marco Bill that's been woken up 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and Bill, how many times have you been woken up wee hours of the morning talking to
you? Many, many, many.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Well, Chad, it's amazing. It's amazing. People don't realize it. But, you know, we hear this all the time, ladies and gentlemen. You know, well, we call all these other organizations, and either we get a recording or we leave them an email or leave them a voicemail, and nobody ever gets back to us. But you know what? We are real. We are real people, ladies and gentlemen. We walk and talk just like you do, and we have a phone number that works. So if you have a sighting, you've had an encounter, you're having troubles about what you saw, don't hesitate to call us because we're there for you. And, Chad, I want to thank you so very much and taking out time from your family this evening up there in Canada. And keep us informed of what's going on, okay?
We'll keep you in the loop, Tom. Thanks for having us on the show.
Have a wonderful night, and thank you so much for being there. Just mute yourself out. We got a whole lot more show.
All right, awesome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Chad from Canada. Great guy. Let's go to commercial, Bill. Let's pay some bills.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage, available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And back to you, Tom.
Thanks, Bill. You know, I don't think they really understand the people around the globe about how we actually have this number that's open for them. I mean, the people that do find it, of course, know. And my gosh, you know, I'm out in the brush. I get calls if I'm having dinner somewhere or if I'm working or whatever, in the middle of the night sleeping. And those of you who know me, I answer my phone, and sometimes to my detriment. But nevertheless, you know, every call is an important call to us. That's the reason why we have that line up there. Tell some of your experiences, Bill.
Well, basically what we've done is we set this phone system up so that it rings both myself and Tom. It also sends a text message with the phone number on it. And so your voicemail, if you leave a voicemail, it just doesn't go into a voicemail box waiting for us to answer it. What happens is it sends it to my email. And so I get an email with a voice call right away. And I can get that on my iPhone or I get it on my computer. So it's kind of set up so that even if we do miss your call after so many rings and we get a voicemail, it comes to us. I've had usually 3-4 calls a week coming in, sometimes more, and some really interesting ones. I think I put a recording on the air here that one time about the 3 kids out camping in Virginia, and they were totally excited and scared and frightened and everything on their encounter. And they actually, you could hear it in their voices when they left a voicemail message for me. And I recorded it and I put it on the air. But it happens all the time. We try to get back right away, immediately. If I can't answer, if I'm not where I can answer the phone right away, phone's charging or whatever, I do get it. So one way or another, I get that message within a few minutes. And so does Tom.
Well, that's pretty well explanatory, ladies and gentlemen. So if either you're going to get Bill or you're going to get me or you get both of us, in most cases you do get both of us. Thanks, Bill, for explaining that. You know, we're going to go back out here and talk to our buddy Tim out there in New York. He's been dealing with these new experiments using remote-controlled balloons with cameras overhead of the trees and everything to see what they come out with. Tim, you out there?
Yeah, I keep on forgetting. I'm in New York. Bill's in California. It's 3 hours different. So when I call him, he does answer the phone. So it's fantastic.
How you doing, Tim?
I'm down here. I'm not trying to change the way saying technology is going to find Bigfoot. It's not. Basically, you got to get in the woods. But I was experimenting with this helium blimp. And, you know, I'm testing everything down here. So I'm making my own, and everything's working out good. The purpose is not to send the helium balloon blimp over the trees. It's to put a webcam in there with night vision, a microphone, and GPS tracking so you can see where it sends back signals back on your computer. So right now everything's working out great. How I'm going to fly this thing and how big it's going to be. If you go to your store and get a watermelon, that's the size of it. It's not overkilling. It's not underkilling. So when I get everything together, the idea is, you know, as you know, Tom, you go to places you just can't get into. I mean, it's just impossible to get into. But if you have some kind of blimp or something that could go in that area for you, you're going to be okay. So when I get this blimp operated after testing it, what I'm going to do, it's just going to fly 7 feet in the air, and I'm just going to send it in these locations. And the difference between a blimp that goes over the trees and this blimp is that a blimp that goes over the trees, is, you know, it's up in the air. This one's just going to go at 7 feet, and it's just going to go in the woods. It's just going to search out whatever in the woods, and it's a very, very good idea.
You know, as good as the idea may be, I've got 2 questions for you.
Yeah, I knew they were coming.
Well, I'm just being logical and respectful, Tim. I'm going to be respectful.
Yeah, we're testing this, so any advice I could get, I could, you know, put into the system.
Okay, but let me ask you these questions first.
Yeah, go ahead.
If it's the size of a watermelon and you're going to use helium in size of a watermelon, okay, which is just maybe the same size because it's rectangular size as a balloon, a large balloon, now would that helium have enough power to pull it up, i.e. a GPS machine, i.e. a thermal imager or some kind of camera and everything else you want to do? You think it will have the power to do that?
Yeah, let me explain something here. You know, I get that question.
Let me finish. Wait. There's two parts of this question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Part two is, if you're going to go only 7 feet high and the average foliage of a forest is maybe 50 or 60 feet with large trees, how are you going to maneuver in between these trees?
Yeah, I'm going to answer that right now. When the GPS system, everybody thinks it's a big black box that you got to put in there with this heavy battery and all that. But my friend who works on these systems in Iraq, believe it or not, in Iraq they got these little model airplanes and they got a disc from, you know, a 4x4 disc you could put in the computer. It's the technology today, Tom, it's very, very, you're not talking huge. You're just talking for the GPS system, it's just a little disc, and the camcorder is just a little like a pinhole. And I'm very surprised, being in Iraq, they're using the system, and the thing, the whole thing, you can just hold in your hand, and they just take it and send it off, and it just shoots back signals back to the computer, and it's fantastic. So you're not to put this into a blimp the size of a watermelon. You're not talking a lot of weight. You're not even talking weight. You're just talking like a little round battery. Now, for the distance, you know, you're talking 7 feet, and you're right, you do got to go over 60 feet sometimes or get higher. Well, when I'm only using my, you know, this is just me, when you search out in the woods, I think 7 feet is pretty good. But for searching, because you can see everything. But if you have to go higher, of course, you're going to control it off your laptop, where you can just, you know, take those wings and crank up the little engine and, you know, take it over the trees or take it 200, 300 feet. So it's a very good idea, and the blimp's not going to be heavy as, you know, you expect and what I would have expect. It's going to be very, very light, and I think you could add stuff on it, believe it or not. And I think this is going to be a great advancement in searching for Bigfoot, because now you can finally get in those areas and be safe in your car where you just couldn't do it before.
No, I'm glad that you accentuated on the questions that I had, because it answered them a lot. But
yeah, it's like I said, it's just being tested down here, and I'm building the model right now. So I wish I could give you better information, but I got to take all the advice everybody's, you know, I got to take all the input and take that knowledge and put it into the system. The second thing we're doing, and I know you got a lot of people, the second thing, people were asking me, well, we know you're in the woods, but do you sleep overnight? And I said, because they're saying like, well, sleep overnight, Bigfoot would come in, he got a camera, you can take photos of it. And I said, well, I got a better idea. Why don't we do a tent experiment? We go deep in the woods. We put this tent up, and there's a lot of new trail cameras that are coming out now. You know, 5 years ago, they brought out the first trail camera. Well, there's a lot of new ones that are just as good and just as better now, and it multi-purpose cameras. So what I want to do, I want to go deep in the woods. I'm going to put this tent up, and Bigfoot comes in by scent, you know. He smells it, and he sees the light. So I made this human scarecrow with clothing and all that. So I'm going to put the tent up. I'm going to put the scarecrow up, and I'm going to put the cameras, one camera deep in the woods away from the tent, heading towards the tent, and put a couple cameras up and just make have a 360-degree circle. But the big thing is now, Tom, I'm experimenting with a new kind of dirt to put around the tent. And this dirt, and I was talking to Bill about this, when it comes to footprinting, you know, it rains down here and everything. So I'm experimenting with this kind of dirt that when you put it down, if something steps in it, it's going to automatically, you know, make that cast. This will get rid of the plastic Paris and all that, and what happened with me a couple times when I hear something out there, I see footprints, but the next day it rains and all that, they just disappear. with this new kind of dirt, and I'm mixing some ingredients in it. If Bigfoot steps in it, it's going to stay there where you go out and you can just cut it out and take it with you. You don't got to sit there with that mixing the plaster and all that. And so these are some good ideas for,
advanced. Tim, let me interrupt for a second. It's a great idea. And they even have something that's even newer than that.
Oh, bring it on.
And here it is. In that same kind of dirt, there's a fluorescent, shiny substance that you mix in this dirt. And if the creature does step into it and leaves, it will, long as you've got that dark light, you travel at night, you'll be able to follow its footpath where it's gone, because it will adhere to its feet, and you will see it with this light wherever it goes.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I was thinking something like that, but, like I say, when you're doing what I'm doing down here, trying to get everything together, you got to take input and listen to people. I was thinking putting some yellow paint in there that when it sits there, it explodes all the bees. But, yeah, that's another thing. That's a good idea, and I'm going to look into that, too. Like I say, I got all the dirt and everything. I'm just doing experiments here. And right. I just got one more thing. So right. I know you got another guest that wants to come in. Have you ever heard about the drive cams now that, you put on your windshield?
Yes, the law enforcement's had them now for the last 8 to 10 years.
Yeah, these are fantastic.
We've got something a little bit better than that.
Yeah.
If you go to our website searching for Bigfoot right now, you'll see a thing called a cell sign Bigfoot detector.
Okay.
It was made strictly for us. If I told you, and look how small it is if you look at it, that you could put this, it's like a trail trip camera, sees at night infrared up to 60 feet out, and it can stay out in the woods for 5 or 6 months. Now, what will happen is anything that goes by there will click its picture in real time and send it to you wherever you are on your cell phone.
Oh, really? Oh, man, I'm going to have a look at it.
How would you like to have something like that?
Yeah, that sounds good. Technology, it's Bigfoot hunters. We all just got to get together and see what we could do to improve our methods of searching for Bigfoot. So a lot of good ideas are coming up. This drive cam I'm talking about, it's a good idea if everybody who's listening to this, if you're out there searching for Bigfoot, definitely get one of these, something like this, or go to Tom's website, because believe me, when you're out in the woods, it's dark at night, you just got to keep your eyes, on the road. And I said to keep my eyes on the road and let a drive cam or another cam take photos of what's in front of me. And that sure beats holding on a video camera with one hand and going down the road. So these are some.
I got to tell you a story.
Hey, dears.
Everybody that knows you knows when we've come out to see you, they put a label on you. You've got a new moniker. You know what they call you?
I don't even want to type my name in the computer and search it anymore,
Let me tell you what they call you. They call you Shotgun Tim.
Yeah, I got the shotgun with me right now, believe it or not.
Hey, by the way, how did that movie come out?
Which one?
Well, the one that you were shooting your shotgun off like crazy in there out in the woods.
I don't even have a copy of it. But I just want to tell you something real fast. I don't even have a copy of it. I seen it once, but it's been re-edited. And the Ghost Hunters have it, and hopefully I can get a copy of it. I just want to tell you something about a little secret here that I'm going to get off here real fast. When you're making an independent Bigfoot film now, right, what the audience, and, we talk about the Bigfoot Hunter Still Searching DVD they made, what the audience are getting into, and I blame this on reality TV, they want to see you. They want to see how you're living, where you live, what you do when you get out of bed in the morning time. So a good way now is what Greg was doing, Newkirk was doing with the Bigfoot Hunter Still Searching. We're out in the woods, and maybe we're talking about my high school, where I went to high school. All of a sudden, he re-edits it. We're out of the woods, and we're at my high school, and I'm just showing everybody. Then he goes back again to searching for, back in the woods. And everything has to be in HD. So we're basically waiting for you to come on down here and do an independent film with us, if you want to believe it or not.
Well, we just came back. We're 3 weeks out in the field, and we've got this new one coming out. That's going to be a killer, I'm going to tell you. It's kind of based like on the Blair Witch Factor with the fictional part, but then the reality, the pseudo part and found footage is real. And we've come back with some incredible footage, Tim. I can't wait to really discuss it with you at another time. Listen,
yeah,
thank you so much for taking the time and being with us.
I love coming on your show. You know, since we met years ago, I take you as a brother in our family, and everybody, we love when you come down here. You're well loved down here. And, you know, the Elmira Bigfoot Watch is always going to support you, and we're always going to be there for you.
God bless you, Tim. Thanks so much. Mute yourself out. We got a whole lot more show.
All right. Thank you very much. See you later.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Tim out there in Elmira, New York. He was one of our first people, and this is going back 8-9 years ago. And he was one of our first, and he's still doing it. God bless him. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get out there to Kenya, to my newfound friend, Anthony. Anthony, how are you?
Doing well. How's everybody over there?
Blunt and to the point, doing well. I like that. No pussyfooting around. How's things going down? What's happening? Anything new?
Actually, something new just happened today, but nothing spectacular. Went by a site and was hearing some sounds while I was on the job, and had a couple of rocks thrown at me, you know, but they weren't thrown in a high rate of speed. You know, I think it was just kind of like, you know, it was more like playful type of thing, you know, like I guess there was, you know, just let me know that somebody was there. You know, I was hearing some sounds coming from the woods, and I kind of stopped paying attention, and I was just turning around, and I heard, you know, things whipping by, and I was trying to get a good look, but then it just suddenly stopped, and that was that.
Is that based in the same area where we were?
Yes.
What's it like over there now this time of year?
Well, the leaves have fallen. The leaves have definitely fallen, and actually you were around this time last year. So,
you know what? You're right. And what was my birthday gift?
And that footprint that we got.
Oh, boy, you're exactly
that
right.
Mm-hmm. You know?
I got to tell you something. It's remarkable right now what's going on, Anthony, around the country. I'm getting so many calls, so many emails from people that are having sightings. And, I mean, these creatures are getting brazing. They're coming out solely by themselves. They're coming out in family pods.
Well, Jody, or I guess you had last week, I mean, that was quite a testimony.
You know, I got to tell you something. For those of you who know her, or those of you who don't know Jody and Jane, those people are for real. I contacted the person from Canada that was with them and took some footage. The guy's wife is a zoologist, and his wife won't go back down in that area because of what they had filmed that night. And, my God, we've got that footage. It's going to be in our new film, Searching for Bigfoot, the movie, where you actually see a creature tearing the hell out of it. And this is like 11, 12 o'clock, maybe 1 o'clock in the morning, tearing the hell out of the inside of the house, throwing shit all over the place. And then during the day, you're seeing a black one and a white one run behind all these cars and out in this field. I mean, it's incredible, just totally incredible, like I've never seen before in my life. But, you know, it made me feel like $1 million because, oh, my God, you know, it just substantiates what we've talked about all these years.
It's getting better and better.
It is. So what's the weather like over there by you guys?
Well, it's in the 80s yesterday and today, yeah.
Amazing, okay. What's our friend doing up there in north of you?
I hadn't talked to him in quite a while, you know. Both of us have been pretty busy. You know, things changed over here, you know, with the kids in school, you know, wife working, and mm-hmm. me working as well. So it's been pretty busy, and we received a few emails from him. The last email I sent him was the same one, you know, I sent you a couple of weeks back just to kind of show him that, hey, you know, that we got that footprint, you know, because he had laid out that sand there, and you know, just wanted to show them that there was, even though it was faded because of the rain, you know, but you know, you can clearly see that, you know, there was a footprint there. Mm-hmm. So,
and by the way, don't think I ignored you. I did get your message to me about the deal when we go out with Jody and Jane, and you're more than welcome.
Oh, I'm telling you, Tom, please tell me the dates, and I'm going to do my best. I am going to try 110% to make the time, and like to get Rex out there, too.
Oh, Rex will be there. Rex will be there, I'll guarantee him. My son TJ will be there. Rob will be there.
Yeah, it's good to see the guys again.
You know, we'll all be there when this whole thing happens. This is going to be our early Christmas gift, I think.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Well, thanks so much for sharing your story with us tonight, Anthony.
All right, and be safe out there.
Thank you so much. Just mute yourself out. We got Rob coming up. Okay.
All righty.
All right. Bill. Mr. Bill.
I'm here.
Let's go to commercial and pay some bills.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmargen, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand, and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Like landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And it's back to you, Tom.
You know, Bill, I got to tell you, we've been doing this for a long time now. A lot of people thought we were going to be a flash in the pan, and a passing fancy. But we proved to them all, haven't we?
Yeah, we're still ranked in the top 50s. Of the podcasts.
We're still rocking and rolling, aren't we?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Amazing how we keep on keeping on and putting our left foot in front of our right and just look forward. And you know, I've been listening to that little ditty and what I had said about the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show in 1967. It's all true. But now when I found out the truth, just makes me sick inside. Not just me, I'm sure there's hundreds, countless thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people who've been duped as we have, where they call this thing the Holy Grail in the Bigfoot world. And when we find it, and there's going to be a bunch of people out there, Bill, you know it as I know it, that are going to say, oh, well, they're full of crap and it's the real deal. You know, we've got the guy that was in the suit, the guy that made the suit, the purplette, that invested in the whole damn thing. People had him arrested. And they still won't believe. But my big question to you, Bill, is this. What's going to happen with the scholastic world, these scientists, these men of the that have
are teaching our children, these anthropologists, these zoologists, that are saying, oh, that's a real creature. And when they find out it's
I know.
Not,
I just seen another one on a television the other night. They're trying to, they're using the mechanics, the science to determine if it was a human walk or a natural walk and all that. And it's so, without knowing all the history that goes behind that, how can you determine that? It's something else.
It's an amazing feat, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
You know, to see how, but when you break it down, as it's broken down in our movie, which will go on sale tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, Hoax of the Century, you'll see it all, from behind the scenes to the up-to-date and the most current. And after you see this, you'll say to yourself, oh, my God, they perpetrated this hoax for more than 45 years, ladies and gentlemen. You need to see it. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's go out there to Alabama, talk to my boy, Rob Price. Rob, you out there?
I'm here, Chief.
How you feel?
Oh, I feel great.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, we were out there last week, 96-degree temperature. What's it like now?
It's still hot today. It was a scorcher today, comparatively speaking. It's been having some cool nights and some other nights it's just been warm and muggy, but it just depends on which way the wind's blowing.
Yeah, that was the thing that blew my mind last week, Rob, is how muggy it got. It was very tropical.
Mm-hmm. It's like that year-round just about it now.
Yeah. Let me ask you something. You heard me talk about the Patty film. You're in the new movie, ladies and gentlemen. Rob's in there. TJ's in there. When you found this out, did it kind of take the wind out of your sails a little bit after seeing it all?
Yeah, it did. I mean, you know, we got there, and based upon everything we've seen and all the evidence we've gathered to find out that's completely bogus and fake, that comes as quite a shock when you go and actually hear the testimony yourself.
Exactly. Well, you know what blew my mind more than anything, Rob?
What's that, Chief?
Was when I saw that film of the creature. And then in 42 years, I've had 7 encounters myself, and none of the creatures I've ever seen looked like that.
Nope.
Okay? And I think I've stressed that to you many times and the people in our crew. And then I got to thinking about, you know, when I listened to that movie, I've seen it, I don't know, 30 times. Because I was involved in the editing of it and what have you. And I look at it and I look at it, and when it's depicted and dissected by our guys, our people, the professionals, and then when the people themselves come out and they say about the prosthesis eye, about the belt buckle, about the pad on its foot, about the waders that they put on and the pillows to make the ass and the shoulder pads to make the shoulders. What do you think of all that, Rob?
After seeing all the evidence, I mean, that's what it appears to have happened. I mean, of course, the guy in question that was wearing the suit, he wasn't a small person to begin with. I mean, how tall was he? About 6'7", something like that?
No, he was 6'3" or 6'4", something like that. But he bulked up, and you see that in our movie. You see him back then, where he was a pretty big boy.
Yeah, and that plus that footwear he was wearing added about another 3 or 4 inches, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
From looking at it, it had that thick sole on it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was the flat sole of the costume.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I think blew my mind more than ever that the public don't know is that when one of the investors took out an arrest warrant for his arrest, and you'll see all that in the movie, ladies and gentlemen. We didn't make this up. This stuff was given to us. You're going to get to see it all, okay? We have scowns with the camera. Now look at here, ladies and gentlemen. If this guy was out there looking for Bigfoot, why in the hell did he have a professional movie camera in his saddlebag? Think about that for a second. He had guns, and he was, if he was that close to this thing, do you think he was just going to take a picture, or what if he shot the thing, being a rodeo cowboy? What do you think about that, Rob?
You recall some of the footage that we looked at, you know, in the editing and whatnot, that was it released originally? And it was actually about an extra 22 to 24 seconds of footage. But the reason we found out that that wasn't released when we got our hands on it and looked at it is you can see not Bob, but the other guy that was out there, you can see him squatted down in the bushes in the side of the frame.
That was Bob Gimlin.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Patterson's partner, cohort. Yeah, exactly, and you see that in there. And ladies and gentlemen, there's one thing that you can't mess up with on this thing. The film tells it all. You can't phony this film up. This is this Kodachrome stuff back in them days. And oh, by the way, that film wasn't taken on the 20th of October. It was taken before then. And you're going to see the flight log from the Bush pilot that brought in two of the guys, Rene DeHinden and John Green from Canada. And I think it was either in, there was twice, once or twice, maybe it was May and August. But that's when that film was taken. It wasn't taken in October. You did, this wasn't a high-def stuff that you took on your film right there and you had it. You had to send that stuff out to get developed. And they don't happen in one day, believe me. I'll tell you what, this was probably one of the biggest hoaxes of the world that's been going on forever that nobody has really come out and did what we've done, and it's out now, ladies and gentlemen. Hoax of the Century. You'll be able to buy it on our website tomorrow, the only place. We're going to have an exclusivity. We're not going to sell it anywhere else but on our website between now and Christmas. After that, the world will be able to see it. Tell everybody what was the highlight of your seeing us all together last week when we were doing the filming.
Oh, I tell you, you know, it's always great to have all the crew together. I mean, seeing all the guys, I mean, you know, all of us get along real good and have developed strong bonds of friendship over the years out doing this on the road. And it's always great to see everybody again. As far as the highlight goes, I mean, I don't know exactly what would be the highlight. I mean, you know, the whole weekend was just wide open as always. So I guess the whole weekend would be highlighted.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's being way too modest. When he picks up the film camera and talks into it himself after he found it on the ground when we couldn't find the film, the videographers, that's the part you need to see. If he doesn't win an Academy Award for this, I want to know why. Thanks, son, for being on the show.
No problem, Chief.
Be well.
You guys too.
Good night, Miss Calabash, wherever you are. I hope you're feeling well. I'm glad you're getting stronger each and every day, and you'll be back at the top of your game real soon. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Rocky, I'm going to call you after the show.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a goal and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door.